Welcome, everybody. Welcome
mood.
To Serving Up Success with a Splash, where we mix leadership lessons with a twist of fun, a little dash of insight, and a whole lot of heart. I'm Bruce Kramer, known as the Corporate Cockroach, and I'm joined by two of my brilliant co-hosts.
That's us. It's me, Angie Snowball, the Renaissance Woman.
And that's also me. Yeah, absolutely. I'm Navdej Dasanjh, and I'm the Strategy Doctor. That was seamless, guys. Well done. Yeah, great, great night.
Oh, it's great night to rehearse. To think about it.
We,
it's like,
we just we nailed that.
Well, today we're going to be talking about emotional intelligence, and today is just the introduction. We're planning to do multiple episodes on this, just like with our AI content. But as we call today's episode, we call it EQ on the Rocks. So, Angie, what are we drinking?
Well, since we're sipping, right, we're going to do a classic old-fashioned. And what you're going to do is you're going to have two shots of bourbon. You can tell we like it in our family a lot. It's nearly empty, but I've got enough for my old fashioned. So two shots of bourbon. And then you're going to take a dash of some bitters. The recipe we gave you has Angostura. I don't even know how to say it, but orange bitters works just as well. You just kind of dash some of that in there. A sugar cube, or if you don't have those, you take a little dash of simple syrup. Mix that sucker up, put it over ice, drop in an orange and a cherry, and sip away. Cheers.
Cheers, everyone. By the way, thank you all for joining. As we mentioned in each episode, we continue to see our viewership grow, and we couldn't be more grateful. So thank you. All right, so let's get down to business. Emotional intelligence, or as it's referred to in the industry as EQ, put simply, it's the ability to recognize, understand, and manage your very own emotions. And to recognize, understand, and influence the emotions of others. So this is a real game changer, whether you're at work, at home, you know, or everywhere in between. Now, it's not just about being nice. It's about being aware, intentional, and adaptable. And, you know, and here's the real kicker. There's a lot been published that EQ can be a better predictor of success than IQ can be. So let me repeat that. EQ can be a better indicator of success than IQ. So that's important to remember. So think of EQ as your secret sauce in the cocktail of success. Without it, you're going to fall flat. So what I'd like to do is, Angie, what does it mean to you?
So I think it's being emotionally intelligent. It's being listen and to other people, you know, all the stuff we talked about before, being a good listener so that you can listen to understand, not to respond. And that way you learn about everything around you. And then you can use the other skills like the empathy and things like that to take all the emotion out of business deals so that you can talk to each other effectively and efficiently. Conflict resolution comes from EQ. The really important crap is that. And that they don't teach in school, which is really sad, right? So that's what emotional intelligence, EQ is emotional intelligence to me. How about you, Dr. D?
Like that, you know, guys, it's a lot of things, Angie. It's a lot of things. I'll pick on a few themes. Big subject, love the subject. Angie, just picking on one of the themes you talked about. It's not taught at schools, which to me is scandalous. Because it is something you can learn. It is something you can practice. This isn't something which is beyond people. Everybody can get to a good level with EQ. Absolutely everybody. I want to return to one of the things Bruce said, you know, being aware of your feelings and the feelings of others around you. I always say, It's that people always know what they're feeling, but they don't always know why they're feeling that. Yeah. Have you ever been down or angry or upset and you felt those feelings? You knew you felt those feelings, but you didn't really know why. You hadn't made the effort to examine. I certainly have been there when I haven't examined those feelings and to try to understand where those feelings were coming from. So this that in itself is a big topic. Another couple of things I want to pick up on. If you've got EQ, you really strive to control your thoughts. Now that may seem intuitively that may seem wrong, but is it? Let's think about this. Let's just unpack that and examine that. You strive to control your thoughts. Well, humans get random thoughts. Okay. How many times
Oh
have you had
yeah,
thoughts just
teach
this
us stuff
week?
that goes in my head.
Well, put point taken, absolutely. How many times just this week have you guys had thoughts where your first thoughts turned out to be wrong? Negative thoughts, say. Me too. I allowed those thoughts to enter, and they turned out to be wrong 24 hours later. Okay. I had the good grace to apologize, but those thoughts were wrong. So what if I hadn't let those negative wrong thoughts what if I had controlled them? So EQ is about part of EQ is about controlling your thoughts. A big thing I want to say about EQ, and it's allied to controlling your thoughts, is emotional sabotage, self-sabotage.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Talk
Yeah.
to me, Bruce. Bruce,
That's a big one.
talk to me about emotional self-sabotage. Talk to
Oh,
me in
wait,
all
real
ways.
quick, Bruce.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
going to
Bruce,
hand
you
it back.
just well, I think of I was just I was just with one of my clients this morning, and we had a discussion around the imposter syndrome. You know, where you have those moments where you just don't think you're good enough, and you have these voices talking to you saying, you know, God, you know, I highly doubt I'm as good as they say I am. Or you have a lot of self-doubt about, am I really as good as I think I am? And so these voices actually sabotage and cause you to freeze up and not necessarily take action. It kind of instills a sense of fear in you. And so that's when I think about self-sabotage. It's when those negative thoughts, you start having conversations with yourself that dwell on kind of the negative as to what you believe or are thinking.
Bruce,
Yeah,
both of
I
you
just
actually.
we got a question real quick. I know we usually put them to the end, but I think this one's important. So a friend
Okay.
of mine who shall remain anonymous said, "What the hell is EQ? I thought it was social skills." So EQ actually stands for emotional quotient. And a lot of people refer to it as emotional intelligence, and social skills is just one part of that. So also we should get that out of the way that we didn't actually say what each was. And I was like, oh yeah, so. So there you go,
Exactly.
nameless friend. Thanks for pointing that out.
Thank
All
you, nameless friend.
right.
Really, really, really appreciate it, nameless friend. I have a question for you too. We talked about self-sabotage, emotional sabotage, self-sabotage, controlling your thoughts. Talk to me about your own self-limiting beliefs.
So you want to go first,
Self-limiting
Bruce?
beliefs.
Oh,
Bruce,
no, I'm
Bruce,
letting you go this time.
over to you, Bruce.
Yeah,
Oh,
no, I can do it if you want. I mean, I think just in general, if you look at my life, one of the reasons I chose Renaissance Woman is because I'm always changing. Every single one of those changes came with a lot of doubt. Every single one of those, I was doing something for a year or two before I felt like I actually deserved to be there. Even this whole LinkedIn thing, for at least a year, I was like, you guys, this is dumb. Nobody needs to pay for this. It's common sense. It took me a really long time and lots of workshops later to realize, no, not everybody does get this. And that again goes back to why we all need coaches, because It's impossible to get over the imposter syndrome by yourself. It takes a very, very long time if you're not supported by the right people, and a very, very long time if you don't have a coach organizing that whole army of getting over it.
Great point, Sanjay. Great point. What about you, Bruce? This whole idea of self-limiting beliefs, around imposter syndromes, one, you mentioned that. What else? What other self-limiting beliefs?
I think when you borderline talk about regrets, that can become very self-limiting in your life. Because as I know, Dr. D, you're going to lead us in the second segment where we talk about specifically the ingredients of emotional intelligence. But what I equate this for is that, as I mentioned in a couple of episodes ago, when we were talking about diamond mapping, having balance in your life, the lack of some of the ingredients, which we're going to get into,
We're going to get into
caused a huge backlash in terms of my family. And so then I started creeping in regrets, like, gosh, why wasn't I a little bit more aware and all that and this? And then that almost becomes reinforcing to the point that, you don't necessarily crawl out of what it was you were caught up into, where you just got to say, hey, I'm learning. It's okay to improve as you go through life, and don't dwell and say, I've got all of these regrets. So I've gotten to a point now where, I believe everything happens for a reason. And every day you have a chance to now be doing it right. And so that's what I'm focused on.
You know what I would say? I would
We've
say that's
talked about it.
very high emotional intelligence. I would say that's very high intelligence. It feels like you basically gave us a story of a few self-limiting beliefs and you conquered them. And you're continually conquering them.
Working
We
on
talked
them
about that
always.
with the Mimi thing. With the Mimi thing too, another like self-limiting belief, and I know we have to go to break here, but is caring so much about what other people think and not focusing on what you think. That is a huge part of imposter syndrome and self-limiting is other people.
Yep.
Which
Great
I
point.
think I banned
Well,
for
with
like
that,
1 minute, you can't get it out.
so with that, I think we're going to go to break, and then Dr. D will be back talking about the ingredients. So Jesse, if you don't mind, take it away.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back, everybody. We are now going to do a slightly deeper dive. We're still at the surface in many ways, but we started with a concept, and now we're going to go slightly deeper. Lots of ways to think about EQ, emotional intelligence, emotional quotient. Goleman is somebody who and this is the one we're going to pick on. Goldman is somebody who came out with five core ingredients, a bit like our drinks, a bit like Angie's drinks. There's an ingredient. So EQ has a recipe, according to everybody, but Goldman has five ingredients. Let me say them to you, and then, guys, a bit of a warning. I'm going to come to you and ask you which of these ingredients you're missing most. So just be prepared. I'm coming at you with a tough question when I go through the five ingredients. So according to Goldman,
Angie's first. I'm just saying Angie's first.
Well, she may be, but she may not be, Bruce. I don't know which way the ball's gonna go. I don't know what's gonna happen there. Yeah, Angie, you could go first. So self-awareness is number one. We've talked about this already, but let's just recap. Can you name what you're feeling? Can you articulate what you're feeling in the moment? Or is it just an emotion, an unexamined emotion where you're having the feeling, but you're not able to explain, you're not able to give a name to it, you can't give any context to it, and that's self-awareness. Number two, self-regulation. What does that mean? Can you stay cool when the pressure's on? In your relationship, at work, can you pause? Can you reflect before you answer? Does it really need a knee-jerk, immediate reaction? Number three, motivation. How driven are you from the inside out? Or do you really need a lot of external pressure? Are you driven internally from your own thoughts? Can you generate motivational thoughts? Can you control your thoughts so that you are motivation? You have that motivation? Big question for everybody to answer. And remember what I said in the first segment, we can all gain the skills for EQ. Time after time, studies show this. There are ways to gain, and in future episodes we'll cover this, there are ways to become better at EQ. Okay, so I've talked about self-awareness, self-regulation, motivation, empathy. Can you tune in and feel and get others? Can you do that? Or does it all go over your head? Social skills. Can you build, and this is something that Angie referred to, comprising part of EQ. Social skills comprise part of EQ. It's not the whole thing. It's part of it. Can you build connections? Can you influence? Do you have ways of influencing people? Do you have ways of disagreeing with people so as not to create tension? Can you resolve the tension gracefully if it comes to tension? We're going to break all of these down in many future episodes, but today let's just think of them as your sampler, your EQ flight sampler. And you know, ask yourself what ingredients are in abundance or in your personal recipe, and what are lacking in your personal recipe. And Angie, with lots of warning, that's the question to you. And then Bruce, over to you. Talk to us about what ingredients are in abundance in your life and which of those five Goldman core ingredients are lacking.
Yeah, so this one's kind of easy for me. So empathy is overabundance. In fact, to the point of what we said right before break, sometimes I care too much about other people's feelings that I don't put myself first when I need to.
I can see that. I can see that, actually. Yeah.
So, but I'm getting better. I'm kind of building boundaries. And that's why I love what you said, Natish. All these things have changed. You know, they can change. A lot of these things are learned. So answering that question, I mean, 20 years ago, it would have been all five. I'm lacking all five, except empathy. That's just naturally, I think, my personality.
Oh, come on, Angie. Really? Really, Angie? Were you really lacking all five? Come on.
I think it was. Like,
really?
You grow up, you learn a lot more, right? Yeah. I mean, always good at empathy.
Okay.
Social skills, I always talked a lot, but that's just because I like doing it. And there's a big myth that just because you talk a lot, you have good social skills. Some people just talk forever and don't ever listen. That's not a good social skill. But I think I was okay with that, but self-regulation is definitely my downfall because I am very emotional and I just want to tell you what I think right away. And you said no knee jerk reactions. I'm like, eh, it still happens, you know? And like people say, okay, I've learned how to control my words. I've learned how to take the emotion out of things. I've learned how to step back, to listen. I use all the tools. But my face will still tell you. Like, if I think you're really dumb or you made me really mad, my face is still going to tell you what I think about you. So that's my downfall is self-regulation. And like you said, I'm still learning it. I'm still putting new tools in the box all the time. It gets better and better. But if I had to choose my biggest weakness, it's that. I want to react right away. I want you to know what
it's
I think.
Self-regulation. You're not great at self-regulation, essentially.
That's my weak one. Yeah. Okay, your turn, Bruce. You had plenty of time.
We're so nice to you, Bruce. We're so nice. We gave you warning. We gave you upfront. We made Angie go first. This better be good, dude.
No pressure.
Wait for it, man.
So I'm going to start with my overabundance.
Okay.
So motivation. I don't need a lot to get me motivated. I'm always thinking it's got to be better. There's something else I can do, et cetera. I would say the second thing I'm pretty good at, social skills. But I will tell you in a moment how those are were somewhat compromised. I'm still a work in progress. And then I would say third strength was self-awareness. Now, my weaknesses, especially early on in my career. The good news was I was with an organization that we really had tough conversations about these things as you developed and you had mentors and coaches. We focused on these ingredients, but one of them was self-regulation. I mean, I hate that this is embarrassing. So those that know the organization I worked with, and you can look it up, I was there for 40 some years. Early in my career, you know how you had those name badges? People would walk around, this was me before Bruce, this was me after Bruce. Because there was a slogan, have you been bruised? Which basically, have you been taken to the woodshed? So I had a short fuse. Now, the good news is, I also showed vulnerability. So I had team members pull me aside and say, dude, that was not cool. I had coaches, again, a very nurturing organization that kind of tried to smooth this person into a bit of a diamond. But the last was empathy. I remember in a very, we would do this Myers-Briggs exercise. And I remember I scored 0 on empathy. And, you didn't know you scored it. Yeah. You go through this whole exam. You have no idea. And I got a 0. Oh my God, I was in this meeting and there was 30 to 40 other leaders with me. And I was visibly shaken because I'm like, I have no, what the fuck are you talking about? Excuse me. But just a clear indication that maybe I don't have empathy. But I was so distraught. I went home. And as you guys know, I have an ex-wife for good reason. I remember saying to her, do you think when it comes to empathy, I'm at a 0? Oh, hell yeah. You, I'm like, well, somebody talk to me. I mean, I'm this walking asshole and nobody's telling me. And so that was very, very early in my career, but I was visibly shaken. So as I started to move forward, because it really did bother me, because I do have some self-awareness. So it bothered me that how could I have missed this? How could I not connect with others that I thought I was connecting with at a deeper level? And so what happened, my self-awareness overnight really started to increase because I had to, not naturally, I actually put plants in meetings where I'd have somebody that knew they could tell me I was full of shit and nothing would happen. I would have them critique me. Like, was my tone much better in this meeting? Did I really pay attention and listen to people? And do they know I really listened to them? Was I active listening? You know, and it took a decade for me to transition from Bruce 1.0 to Bruce like 3.0 out of 4 on a scale of 4. But I had to work at it religiously. And so I leveraged my self-awareness, which overnight it even improved my social skills that much more, which Angie's going to talk about next week, led to a bunch of good promotions for me.
Yeah.
And so Angie will talk about that. You know, she's leading that up next week, so stay tuned. But emotional intelligence is everything. Like they said, it's probably more important than IQ as a predictor of your success. I'm here to tell you that that's absolutely, because my career flourished once I was smacked alongside of the head saying, dude, you're coming across as a bit of an asshole, you know, and even though I was used in some cases to be more like that, because we had to get things done that weren't getting done. So put Bruce on it, you know, he'll drive it. But it was, you know, at the expense of, you know, other members of the team. And that's never good. And it wasn't good for me either. But that's why these tools are so important. They're easy to ignore or poo-poo, but they make all the difference in the world when you pay attention to them.
And you know what's so crazy, Bruce? When you said you put a plant in the meeting for your weakness, I have the same thing to this day. And any of my BNI people that are listening, because I'm president, they know who it is. He will text me and say, fix your face. Well, I know that I'm, you know, I know my self-regulation is not great and I know that I need to. So I use that too. Using other people to improve myself because I know I can't do it alone.
Guys, I just got to say, guys, no, don't stop talking, Bruce. Stop talking. No, I'm talking now. But I got to say, seriously, everybody listening, Bruce and Angie, definition of high IQ, seriously, because listen to the vulnerability of that, the honesty or the authenticity, but the confidence it takes confidence to express vulnerability. So everybody listen to those stories, play these stories back. They've had successful careers, not because of all the IQ stuff they were doing, but because they learned this stuff and they are vulnerable enough to share that with you right now. Guys, thank you for sharing that. I'm glad I gave you the warning. Maybe that allowed you time to prepare. Yeah, I'll take the accolade for that one. It was all down to me, guys. It wasn't to do with you. It's to do with me. Listen, I think we've got to get a break.
All right. See ya.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Okay, everybody, welcome back from break. We have talked about so much already, but most of our answers were about work. And I think the really key thing about EQ is that we need it for life. That is with your family, it is in your relationships, it is in work. We took one aspect, but truthfully, when you put these five things together, you have better relationships. You're a better friend, you're a better spouse, you're a better everybody when you have the self-awareness, the self-regulation. Oh my gosh, I know my husband's listening to this because he's wonderful and he listens all the time. But I can guarantee you he's laughing his ass off at me saying that I'm getting better at self-regulation. He's like, because I feel like you're on my ass a lot. Truthfully, like knowing those things, I think makes us better in our family and our friends as well. So, Natish, we didn't really talk about your work experience with EQ, but I'd love to hear how you feel like EQ's made you have a fuller life outside the office. Ooh, he has a face like I should threw him under a bus.
Yeah, you threw me under the bus, and yeah, but I enjoy it. That's good. I want to think. I want to be challenged, right? So I'm going to go back to Goleman's five core ingredients to answer your question. So I think in my early life, all of those needed work. And I've got better with effort and work and with feedback. And I learned quite early in life, not just like Bruce, actually, to take feedback and not be critical of feedback. Take it and reflect on it.
That's so
pause. But I think so. Of course, it's definitely helped me. You know, because I had a career where I was working so hard, and you know what it's like when you're working so hard. You're on a hamster wheel, and you can get very operational. And you can become a bit short. You can have a short fuse, and you know, there's multiple priorities, and you can get stressed. So I'd say the thing that I had to work on, the last thing that I had to work on, was staying cool in difficult situations. That's the thing that I don't think that I'll ever conquer it, but I think that I've understood it and I've become very good. I've got techniques to pause and reflect on that. In conclusion to that, to your question, I'd say the thing that I think I always had was empathy. I think I could get...
That makes sense to me.
I think I could get others... and sort of understand what they were feeling. And actually, I'm probably quite good at showing that empathy rather than just feeling it, showing that empathy and you know, resolving things quickly. So, yeah, I think that's a reasonable answer?
No, I think that's a really good answer. And I love that. I think all three of us are talking about self-regulation and staying cool is a challenge that we have. Bruce, I'm going to throw this at you. So I'm not totally throwing you under the bus. I'm warning you before I throw you. So there's several things. Like when you're doing motivation, that's important to have at home because, like Natej said, I'm running on the hamster wheel all day. When I get home, the last thing I need is somebody yelling and nagging me that I'm not giving them my energy. I don't da 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 da. You know, like those, that's understanding that you don't have that is important because then you can talk about it and fix it. And the self-regulation stuff is important to know because especially at home, you are in your comfort zone. You're with the person that loves you most. And when you're at work, you're somewhat regulated, right? Like Bruce said, he's like, I can't be an asshole at work. But what's stopping you from being yourself when you're at home? So I think that self-regulation, it's important, just as important at home, and maybe more important to realize we don't have it because we tend to have that unconditional love at home and we don't regulate ourselves as much as we should. And that can be a real problem. So Bruce, what do you think, how do you feel about these five things? Is one different than at work? Like, do you have one weak spot more at work than at home, or one strong spot more?
Good question. Yeah.
Bastard. So, no, such a great point, Angie, because I still struggle with empathy and self-regulation at home. In my professional life, as a coach, no longer, I am so aware and so regulated just from years, but are there moments at home where that takes a back seat? And it's like you said, it's because you're with somebody that hopefully loves you unconditionally. Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully
do I still have moments where I don't practice that as well as I need to? Absolutely. So as I said earlier, I'm a work in progress, but those still my two weakest points, empathy and self-regulation in my home life, is still something that is less than adequate at times.
Yeah, and that's when you have that, I'm not saying Bruce sucks or Natasha sucks. I'm saying all of us have our weak points at these things. And whether it is at home or at work, this is the difference between a conflict and a collaboration. This is the difference between someone showing you support and someone holding you down. These things will change everything. And like work-life balance, it's such a buzzword, right? Everybody wants work-life balance. We got to have it. I think what we really need is work-life integration, because they are all a part of everything we do. My personal life matters when I'm at work too. My business life, you can shut the door and compartmentalize, and those are all great tools, but it's still a part of you. And understanding and being empathetic to each other's jobs. Like, my husband works really long days. So he gets home at 9-10 o'clock at night, right? And a lot of times he just wants to go and watch panda bears fall out of trees on YouTube. And I'm like a puppy that's been home all day. I'm like, come on, play with me. Let's go do something. So understanding that he's been in a truck for 14 hours and that's how he calms down made a huge difference in our relationship, because like, okay, then I'm going to make this my me time. And on the weekends, we have our quality time when we both, so that's a big difference. I mean, in other relationships, that could make or break something if you weren't understanding of, hey, that's how he does things. What do you guys have to add on that?
You had your finger there. Oh, my
AI camera's
just gone.
What I was going to say, thank God I have a partner that has high EQ. So she compliments me. Yeah, she is amazing. And my kids will tell you she's amazing. But yeah, she continues to coach me to some degree. So all my clients out there, the reality is emotional intelligence, the reason why it has such a huge impact is that it does cross all, while I can say at a leader, it converted me from leading kind of with force to be more inspirational, to be more, engaging with others. It's always a work in process. Because Angie, I'm so happy you brought up because when I do come home, I kind of relax all of that knowledge I have to just kind of take, and then your natural behaviors. I was trying to say inclinations, and I couldn't because there's more than one syllable there. But the reality is, you got to be on guard. This isn't something a one and done. You don't walk away and say, hey, I got it. I'm highly emotional intelligence. Because I could be honest, Noelle can open a can of whoop-ass on me too, where she uses that self-regulation. But I usually have it coming. So, but it's a work in process.
Too much information.
We're talking a lot about how important it is and like where we see it and all that stuff. I think it would also be helpful for people to understand like what are some of the tools that we've used, because we've all said we've improved. We've all said, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, something was different. So I know for me, there's a couple of things that I've done. One is to learn patience. I had to teach myself patience. I had to just keep reminding myself, okay, just hear them out. You know, look at it from their side. What, you know, and ask more questions. So when I did want to open a can of whoop ass, instead of just screaming and yelling and jumping up and down, like, okay, I don't understand this, and ask more questions so that I could be empathetic to the situation. And I think another thing was truly just I work with a hypnotherapist who's helped me with a lot of private family issues and stuff, but he's helped me get over, you know, find a balance and become mentally and emotionally more stable when it comes to some of the family things that we have. So those are two things that I've used, and I have a boatload more. What are some of your favorite tips and tools to help people improve on these concepts?
So
I'm really good at the questions.
I got three. Feedback. Go and get feedback, and do not react to the feedback. It's stay silent. Take feedback, and don't try and tell the person that they're wrong. Take the feedback and then go and reflect on it. That's helped me over the last 15, 20 years, for sure. The other thing that really helps me is at some point in the day, I go and do a 1 hour walk, contemplative walk. And then a little bit of meditation as well during the day. So I'd say in order, it's feedback and not sort of reacting to the feedback. And then making sure I do a 1 hour walk where there is nothing but me talking to myself, you know, in my own thoughts. And that just aids that contemplative pause thing that I was talking about. And then meditation. How about you, Bruce?
I think that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I find journaling, you know, so everything you just said, the only thing I would add is that I journal. So one of the things is, as I pointed out earlier, my self-awareness has gone way up. So even when I fail to self-regulate or maybe not display enough empathy, I'm pretty quick to catch it. And yep. I now lean into it by apologizing, by saying, hey, you know, that wasn't warranted the way I reacted. And I need to listen better so I better understand. But by journaling, it gives me a chance to reflect.
Bruce, can I cut in here? So was there a time where you, before we go to break, because I know we're being hammered to go to break, but it's a quick question. I want to get it now. Was there a time where you were not good at apologizing?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Brilliant.
I didn't have the...
Yes. Too. Yes. By the way, me too.
I'm just going to say yes.
Yeah. Same. Okay, but Jesse.
Now I'm good at it. Let's go to break and then talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah. And then Dr. D, you're coming back too with the challenge.
I've got a surprise for you guys. I've got a surprise.
Oh,
so keep your wits about you. Get some old fashioned down you. Let's go to break.
If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everybody. As promised, I've got a bit of a surprise for my co-hosts. I have a question for them, okay? And the question is, you answer in two parts, some thinking time. You might need a bit of thinking time. And then I've got a little bit of an exercise for our listeners. But question for you two. Work environment. You're in a meeting when a colleague takes credit for work that you did. Colleague takes credit that you're in a meeting of a lot of people. What do you do? Here's how I want you to answer the question. What would you have done 20 years ago? And what would you do now if it's different? If it's the same, it's the same. But what would you do 20 years ago? What did you do? What would you have done 20 years ago? And what would you do now? And I'm going to come to Angie first.
Okay. So Bruce, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I would have sat there and boiled. Probably not said anything because I know I would have said something really, really bad. And then I would have gone out after work and talked shit about that person for a long time and come back to work unhappy and angry and had a very unhealthy relationship. In fact, I know who that person is. It happened. And since then, later, working in automotive, I ran into this again. I had, and it was a woman, and there's not a lot of women in automotive. And anybody who knows me knows I'm a big proponent of women's things. I have a huge International Women's Day, globally, all this stuff. So it was really hard, especially because she was a woman, to not just let her do it because I didn't want to cut her down. But what I found was if I just went into the conversation and gradually said, you know, when I first thought about doing this, I was also worried about this. What do you guys think of those challenges? So I didn't like throw her under the bus, but I was careful with my word choices to let her know, hey, I see what you're doing here. But guess what? It is my idea. I do have all the right questions and I'm still driving the bus. And I'm strong enough that I don't have to yell at you, call you names. Everyone will still know I'm driving that bus without throwing you under it. So I think it's just kind of finding ways to remain calm and to slowly just stay the course. You're strong. It was your idea. But throwing somebody on the bus never helps. It just makes you look petty, right? So that's not the answer. It's to say, it's my idea. Get out of here. So that's to me what I did.
That is like a score of 1 million out of 10. That's the first £1 million round on serving up success, Angie.
I don't think it was awesome. It was
awesome. And the fact that you showed vulnerability about what you did in the past. You talked about the person you had in the back. Yeah.
Bruce, young, impetuous, Bruce. You get defensive.
Well, I was happy she had to go. I was happy she had to go first. And
I saw you walking around. Yeah.
Oh God. So if we go back 45 years, I would have called the person out in the meeting. I wouldn't have, wouldn't have been like, hey, mother. It would have just been, dude, or what are you thinking? Just not the way it went down, but there would have been a confrontation in the midst of everyone in that meeting. Cause I was going to stand up for what's right or whatever. Where now, ratchet forward, literally I would have left things just go. Cause one, I'm confident that people know what my capabilities are. I'm confident in my capabilities. So, this one episode isn't going to do anything. I would circle back with that individual to have a you know, I would want to understand why that happened, just in case they felt they weren't getting the recognition they needed to. If it's a fellow team member, maybe they feel like they're undervalued. So I want, you know, empathy. I understand that. So I kind of understand maybe why it was exaggerated a little bit, what you claim to do versus what I was a part of. The next thing I would do is, once we have that conversation and she, he, I realize, listen, it happened, let's move forward, I would hope and ask that that person course corrects in the next meeting, to say, you know, to practice a little humility, because it's very good for the soul. Trust me, I've had to do it many times. The walk of shame is okay. It's a learning opportunity. It's just, you know, and I'm not asking for that person to say, oh, I apologize. I just say, hey, you know, last week when we spoke, there was actually, you know, two or three of us that were involved in that. I would want them to grow as an individual that, okay, let's get that record set right. But I would do that one-on-one. And if it never got set right, that's fine. I move forward. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. It's not going to hurt me at all.
It's amazing. Learning.
It goes back to self-confidence, right?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, having the confidence to do that. Great answers, guys.
How about you?
First of all, 1 million points to both of you. Okay, and I'm going to come in and just talk about what I did 20 years, 30, 40 years ago. So I think probably I don't know what my recollections are precisely, but just thinking back, I think I probably would have just sat there and been upset and annoyed and not done anything about it. Then later on, I probably had a period of, I would have probably had a period where I wouldn't have said anything, but I would have raised my eyebrows. My body language would have told the story. But now I think the truth is I don't expect anybody to be like, my expectations of everybody is that they don't do that sort of thing, and they don't. You know, I'm just in circles of people that just would not do that. I don't know anybody that would do that. So, because it's a pet hate of mine, I just don't know anybody that would do that. And you know, you guys are great, wonderful at how you flatter people around you when they've done something. You go on about it. Bruce, you go on about it so many. When I've done something, I did something once, like 6 months ago. You keep going back to it over and over again. Oh, and it was Notej, you did that. You did that. And you keep coming back to it. You're incredibly good like that. But both of you, you're amazing. But anyway, I'm not going to flatter you, because I want to do something else with our listeners before we go. And then I want you guys to thank our listeners properly. So here's an exercise for everybody who's listening. At the end of the day, you know, we talked about not naming our emotions, not being able to name emotions. Jot down three emotions you felt and why and what you believe triggered them. Don't add a judgment. Don't make excuse or judgment. It's just being aware. I just want everyone to practice what they're feeling and naming it and exploring it. Because as I said, very often we know how we feel, but we don't always know why we're feeling that. And the trigger may have been something unrelated to what we're feeling. So just that exercise, three emotions, jot them down. And what triggered them, what you believe triggered them, so we can get used to thinking about that. Guys, it's been a great show. I've really enjoyed your interaction. As ever, It's been wonderful to learn more about you in this, and you know, I say this with complete honesty, in this totally unrehearsed way. I didn't know what you guys were going to say. So one day I'm going to ask you questions and you're going to say something and I'm going to think, wow, I wish I hadn't asked that question. But anyway, I'm going to leave it to you guys, both of you, just to thank our listeners. Thank you from me too, to all our listeners. Gobsmack that you listen every week. Really, really grateful. But over to you two to finish off.
Well, I'm going to let Bruce do it. Thanks, everybody. Bruce, you do your thing, dude.
Well, really, that ends this round of Serving Up Success with a Splash. We are going to be back with a deeper dive around EQ, so stay tuned. But also, next week, Angie leads a discussion on being promoted. How do you get promoted? There were elements of that in today's discussion. But until then, cheers to emotional intelligence and mixing success with a splash of self-awareness. Thank you, everybody. We'll Thanks, see you guys. Till next time. Bye. Bye. Take us away.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Brancu, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.